Today's podcast is going to be a little bit shorter. You know, I know many of you guys are busy tonight. The election is going to be tomorrow. I know there's a lot of uneasiness that's going on right now. I mean, if it's anything like, you know, within our home, you know, it's been kind of, you know, sitting on pins and needles for months. You know, there's just a lot of stuff going on. You know, last night I was out hunting, and I was fortunate enough to harvest a deer right before dark. And, you know, as I was, you know, gutting out the deer and getting everything ready to take to the processor, you know, I had been bent over for a long time to get everything taken care of and cleaned out, and I hurt my back really bad. I didn't know it at the time, and so got everything taken to the processor, got home late, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, I can tell Stacy, you know, she was uneasy. She was, you know, tossing and turning a lot, which has been happening a lot with this last week of the election. And she got out of bed, I think it was at 2:21. So she came back to bed this morning. She was not feeling good at all. And I knew that there was just a lot of stress going on. And as I got up, you know, in the morning, I said, "You stay in bed." And I went ahead and took the youngest to school. And I get back home, and I'm in the bathroom getting changed. I want to do my morning workout. You know, I was actually going to make today's podcast a little bit around, you know, discipline and all that kind of stuff. And as I was getting ready to write the podcast after I got done working out, I did something as I turned, it's like something went down my spine, like someone just, like a hot poker all the way down it. And I realized there's no way I was going to be able to work out. I was disappointed. You know, I'm like, you got to work out, you got to stick with it, you know, no matter what. But I knew that I could hurt myself further, you know, if I decided to do that. So I came up here to my office. You know, I would be doing the podcast normally today in our main office, and I'll tell you why I'm not in just a second here. But, and this is late in the day. When I'm doing this, this is way later than I would normally be recording the podcast. And the reason is I ended up spending almost the entire day in the emergency room. Whatever I had done, it did something, and I may tell you more about what happened later with that. Pretty scary, to be honest with you. And they wanted to keep me in the hospital. And I just said, you know what? No. Today is an important day. And I had done, you know, all this research like I'm always doing, you know, when it comes to lots of different things, whether it's theology or you know, policies with what the candidates are running on, whatever. And when everything happened today and I was in there, I couldn't finish what I wanted to do. And so when the doctor came in and he said to me, "We think we want to keep you for some observation for maybe 2 to 3 days." I'm like, at first I was kind, you know. Stacy was a little bit upset with me because I was like, that ain't going to happen, you know. But I had to kind of stop. You know what's funny? Let me see if I have it on my phone here. As I was laying there, I came across one of my buddy's posts from Facebook while I was waiting for hours for the doctors to come back and then take me in to get, you know, CT scans and stuff. I was like, God, I got to get out of here. I got to get this podcast done. And God reminded me, Brent, you know, I've called you. You have a passion. You want to put out truth, and I want you to do that. But I somehow thought that if they kept me in the hospital, I wouldn't be able to speak to you guys in a way that maybe would move you to go vote, because we have so many people that are not voting at all. And I want to encourage you, get out there. You've got tomorrow left. Make your voice be heard. Get in there and vote. It's our responsibility. But as I saw this, you probably can't even see this post. I'm holding it up. It says, "Hold on," or it says, what does it say? "Hold on, sit tight. God knows what he's doing." And I was being a little bit, I want to say I was being combative. I wasn't being combative, but I was maybe being argumentative with this ER doctor coming and wanting me to stay. He eventually released me. But I think it was because he noticed that there were some things that were beginning to change that were moving toward the better for me. So I have to go in and meet with a specialist later on this week, whatever. But I came home, didn't have a chance to do anything. And I said to Stacy, I said, "I got to get up there. I got to do this podcast." I said, "I just feel like it's a part of what God has called me to do. That's why I wanted to leave the hospital. Like, I couldn't do it sitting there. And if I go back to the hospital tomorrow, whatever happens, great. But tonight I needed to get this done." So what I wanted to talk to you about is, first of all, it's your responsibility to get out there and vote. Study the candidates. Study not just what they say, but what they've done. That is so important. Look at the policies. Because if you're just going on a one issue kind of a thing and you're not looking at everything, that's a problem. Because you can't just be thinking about one thing. I can't even imagine what it's like for God. He has to think about everything. But there's so many different things. You know, right now we're looking at the economy. We're looking at the border. We're looking at this pro-life versus pro-choice. We're looking at our military. There's just so many things to look at. And it's so big that you can't just make it a one policy choice. And if you do, I would say, I'm not just guessing, that you're not really looking at everything as a whole. You've got one thing that means something to you, and I totally get that. But you have to look at everything. So I was telling you, I was in the hospital. I said I really wanted to be released. And as I was in the hospital, I was you know, in the ER, and I'm watching all these elderly people, you know, being brought in. And some of them are crying. Some of them can't even barely move, and they're connected up to everything. And here I am, and I've got IVs and stuff going on in me. And I'm 64, but I try to stay in as good a shape as possible. But today was a reminder to me that life is this life is short. It really is. We don't have the promise of tomorrow, but the one who gave me this life is the one who made everything there is. You know, like that deer that I harvested last night, God says in His Word, you know, it's okay to take these animals to eat to feed your family. I absolutely do. We do that every single year. And so I value that life. I really do. The hardest thing for me is taking of the animal. I hate that part. I truly do. I always want to find myself falling on the side of being a hunter and not a killer or a provider. But this election has brought some things up in me that were stirring, and I think stopping and being in the hospital today and seeing the frailty of human life, knowing that in one part of the hospital you have people dying and sick, and in another part you have new life being brought into this world for the first time. But the one who gave that life, who sustains that life, the one who takes us to be with Him when we pass as believers, the one who made everything there is the one who is in charge of all that. He's given us all kinds of freedoms here on this earth. But when I think about the one who made life, He has the ultimate say in that. And so I was going back and I was reading some things this morning. I was looking back at Herod and Pharaoh, you know, having the babies killed. I think it was, you know, babies under the age of two with Herod. I think there was 144,000 that He had murdered. And you just think about that frailty of human life and how He just went in and wiped all those out. And for me, I look at every issue, but we know from watching television, the main issue that one party is focusing on is on either you're going to be pro-life or you're going to be pro-choice. And for the believer, I think it's pretty clear cut. You know, I understand, you know, rape, incest, the life of the mother. There's certain things that have to be looked at. But just for the sake of taking human life because I wasn't ready, I don't want that child. I have a real issue with that. You know, we have adoption. We have all kinds of things out there. And so you say, my body, my choice. What about, I had to register for the military years ago. No matter what, I didn't get a choice on that. You know, it just kind of rubs me the wrong way sometimes. The vaccine, when we're looking at all the vaccine stuff. You know, my wife had to get the vaccine. She works in the hospital. And ever since that's gone out, we've seen there have been a lot of bad things that have come as a result of that. But for many, there were not a choice when it came to that. And then I go back and I look at things like, what about the father? What if the father in that relationship with that man and woman, and she doesn't want the baby and he does, but he doesn't have a say? It doesn't seem right. Well, she's my body. Well, guess what? That body inside your body is not your body. That body belongs to God. What about, you know, they've had the baby and they don't stay together, whatever it is. And he goes, you know what? I just don't want to pay for that child anymore. My choice. Well, what happens if he does that? Gets drawn into court, can get fined, can get put in prison. So there's so many things you have to look at. I absolutely have compassion. I want to make sure that women are taken care of, that their bodies are taken care of, that they're not put in compromised circumstances that could either harm the baby, harm them, whatever. I totally believe all that. But for someone just going out and saying, you know what, my body, my choice, this, I don't want this child. My heart breaks for you. Because to be able to understand the value of human life, the gift that you have to even be saying that that's going to be your choice. Your life wasn't just given to you by your mother and father. You're a gift from God. He's the one that made everything there is. He is the father of everything. And no, here's the thing. No matter what choice you do make with that, his love for you never, ever changes. But I just wanted to go back and I wanted to share something. Back in, I think it was around 1985, my niece and nephew had both been born. And of course, I wasn't a dad or anything yet. But I was in awe of watching this life. Being an uncle for the first time was so cool. And I went to Gloria Gaither and I said, I was a songwriter. I had been, traveling with Stephen Curtis Chapman at that point and just really getting into songwriting. And I said, I want to write a song that for those people that are on the bubble about whether they're going to abort their child or have their child, that the beauty of life would be so amazing and awesome that they would look at that and really value that. And maybe that would help direct them in making the choice to choose life. And she said, Brent, just write a song that is so beautiful, that paints that picture. And so she began to write the song with me in the very first two verses. And I just wanted to share with you a little bit, because that song means a lot to me. And I think today, like I said, when I was in the hospital, I began to think about this song, because the frailty of human life from one side of the hospital where there's babies being born and another part of the hospital where lives were passing. Wow. Bill Gaither said to me one time, he said, Brent, there's only two times in life that we're ever really totally honest, and that's at the birth of a new life. And that being honest means realizing the importance of life. One is at the birth of a new life, and the other one is when the passing of a loved one. So I began to write this song, and it said, before you had a name or opened up your eyes or anyone could recognize your face, you were being formed so delicate in size, secluded in God's safe and hidden place. With your little tiny hands and little tiny feet and little eyes that shimmer like a pearl, he breathed in you a song to make it all complete. And then he brought his masterpiece into the world. For you are a masterpiece, a new creation he has formed. And you're as soft and fresh as a snowy winter morn. And I'm so thankful that God has given you to me, for little Lamb of God, you are a masterpiece. I hope you will really think about that and take that into consideration as you go to the voting booths, if you haven't already voted, and think about the sanctity of life and the importance, and look at every issue that's out there. There's another song that I kind of wanted to end with that I had written right after that song. And it was after beginning to see my niece and nephew grow up and begin to see their lives and how lives begin to change. And the song starts off, it says, there's a little girl sitting on my knee, sang her a song and she fell asleep. Wonder where that little girl is now. And there's a little boy sitting on my lap, looks so cute in his baseball cap. Wonder where he is right now. Hope we've shown them Jesus somehow. And then the chorus says, have we taught our children well? Is our life a show and tell? Can they see the love of Jesus in our eyes? And when another page is turned, do you think that they will have learned to show the love of Jesus with their lives? Have we taught our children well? This is the most important election of my lifetime. And I was born in 1960. And there's a lot riding on this. So I hope that when you go to vote, that you will take everything, and that in the end, love, beauty, life prevails, because life matters.